You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Married at First Sight Wrap Up. I am Asia, and as always, I have with me my lovely co-host, Amy. Amy, how are you doing?
Asia, I just wanted to check in to see how many times you've showered today. I want to make sure that, you know, you're clean, ready for this podcast. I don't really want to podcast with you if it's less than three times.
Yes, we're all good. I took my fifth shower right before we started recording, so...
Yeah, I mean, rinsing off, is that so hard? I mean, just want to make sure.
Right. You know, like, you have to be clean because you don't want to, you know, sleep on the couch. You want to carry germs into the bed and have to wash them every single day. So that's why I make sure to, you know, shower. That's why it was my fifth shower, because I know my dog Pepper would be like, Mom, what are you doing? Go shower.
Yeah, you'd have to buy a brand new sheet set. You'd have to have like one for every day of the month. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And so I'm so glad we're back to talk about Married at First Sight. But today is actually Married at First Sight because we have a special guest with us. We have Mari Forth. Mari, how are you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm glad to be here. I don't know if I want to add to the shower debate. I am still confused why... people's hygienes keep coming to social media. Like, it seems like every other week we're hearing some other weird hygienic problem. But I am just glad to talk about a whole bunch of other stuff.
I just got done podcasting about BIP, and we were talking about, do you wake up in the morning and pee outside or inside?
Oh, so, I forgot. No.
I did not realize that people in Louisiana were doing that.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, the more that we advertise on social media, the more we're finding out people's real living habits. And I think it's getting too far. I know too much at this point.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. It's like, how do I keep just getting surprised with more and more weird hygienic stuff that people do on their own time? It's just, please, I've had enough.
We're not to mention you guys are watching live feeds, so who knows what you're seeing?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. We're not seeing a consistent stream of people leaving the bathroom stall, washing hands, and then continuing on their way. But I'm not going to call out any names. We are here to talk about season 13, episode 6. And so I'm so glad to have you with us, Mari. So Mari, what are you thinking about this season so far?
I really like this season, mostly just because, like, all of these couples honestly kind of feel like they can go either way. Mm-hmm. And you feel that in, like, every episode. Like each segment goes by, it's like, oh, they're going to be together forever. The next segment, like, ooh, I don't think they're going to make it past 2 days. And the next, like, oh, they're going to do it. They're going to make it. Like, that's how all of these couples feel like to me. They all feel like they have the possibility of making it work if, like, they all put in the actual work. Mm-hmm. But it's just like hit and miss every other episode, I swear.
Yeah, I will say it's nice that we are 6 episodes in and it's not like clear cut. Like, I feel like last season it was just like, okay, maybe we were wrong about you know, Eric and Virginia, you know, going the distance at that point. But it was pretty clear who wasn't getting along, who was really getting along.
That's very, very true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these seem like more along. Realistic pairings, mm-hmm. like people that you might just expect to date in the real world and have their conflicts, as opposed to like, how in the heck did they get matched together?
Exactly.
Yes.
I'm telling you, they just didn't want a repeat of Chris and Paige. It's like, okay, we have to put in more effort on more couples.
A little more cautious.
Yes. Right.
Something.
Yeah.
I'm glad they changed it up at least a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do you have a favorite couple so far?
Oh, sorry. Yes. So, you know, I still love Zach and Michaela. I still want to see I want to know how we get from like 0 to 60 with some of the stuff we saw in the season preview. Mm-hmm. But I also love Johnny and Bao, and they're like one of the couples where I'm like, oh, they're going to make it. And then like the next day, I'm like, oh my God, y'all, like, please just get through this. Like, yeah. It really feels like that. But at least they're being honest. And I think it bodes well that, you know, you're seeing the rocky stuff kind of up front than like when we've seen in the past seasons where some couples, Eric and Virginia, leave stuff to bubble up, you know, longer and push it away. And then, you know, it ends up getting in the way later. So I love Johnny and Bao. Yeah, everybody else is just interesting. Like Jose and Rachel, their dynamic is so interesting to me. So I can't wait for us to like dive into that.
Yes.
Gil and Mirla, I'm just like, sometimes I'm like, do y'all look? Even like each other, like, you know, like as people, you know. And then Brett and Ryan, I well, it's a great season so far though.
Yeah, I totally agree. I am enjoying the season, and I am particularly enjoying, I really enjoyed this episode. I will say this has been the very first season that I've actually been a little bit intrigued to watch unfiltered.
Got you watching it?
Well, I haven't yet. I'm just intrigued.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I found out, I didn't watch this current one, but last week's episode wasn't as many like revealing things, but Brett wanted to like defend the like, 2 years without having a kiss statement. I don't know like how this really defended it. It made me like have more questions, but she said the first year of those 2 years, she was in a relationship, but they didn't kiss. And then she kind of, yeah. And then she was like, oh, religious reasons or something.
What?
And then the second year was COVID. So she's like, nobody was kissing. So I've really only gone 1 year without kissing, but I'm like, okay, but that, because COVID doesn't count. And then I was like, but you were in a relationship that whole year? Like, I need more. I need to know
what. Like long distance?
No, it wasn't long distance.
Like in person.
That didn't help, girl.
Like, no.
I would have felt better just you saying you haven't kissed anybody in 2 years. I was like, okay, sure.
Leave
like,
it at that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're not married and you weren't in a committed relationship. But then you say, oh yeah, I was in a committed relationship, mm-hmm. but we didn't kiss for a year and it's a weird religious thing. So now I kind of want to know more about that previous relationship because I wonder if it's affecting this one, you know?
Yeah.
Right. But,
that's interesting. And I'm with Asia. I kind of want to watch Unfiltered, but I'm the type of person who I'm like, no spoilers. La, 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 la.
Yeah, because you can kind of read into like, oh, this person looks really happy when they're talking about their husband. This person is a little off or something. So, yeah, that is weird. And then she also talked about how Ryan had been on private jets before, but then she didn't really elaborate, but just like the differences in lifestyle or something. So apparently the oil business is doing well.
Right. Yeah. If you're working in Houston and you work in oil and gas, your pockets are fat. You're doing well for yourself. So
I can imagine. And then, do you guys know if this is true? But I thought I heard also his parents are well off as well.
I wouldn't be surprised. Have you heard that? No, I haven't.
No, but that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we are going to dive into all of these couples. So during episode 6, we got the conclusion of the honeymoons. And so we got to see, you know, a few more activities with all of the couples. They did a couple of group activities. So we'll dive into that. And then now they, at the end of episode 6, they were coming back to Houston, ready to get back to their normal lives, quote unquote, and really start their lives together. So first, we are going to start with Zach and Michaela. So the reason we're going to start with Zach and Michaela, because of the lack of content. So literally, we get a repeat of last week where, you know, he feels like he let her down and she had to, because Zach tested positive for COVID. So he's quarantining in Florida. Michaela flew back. Michaela flew back to Houston. And so at the end of Zach's quarantine, he will go to Houston and then they'll be together. And so we got little bits of Zach, like talking to the other couples. So he got to talk to other couples during the group outing. They FaceTimed him to say hello. And then also a couple of the guys and talk to him up on his balcony while he's quarantining.
I would have rather seen the scene where they were throwing beers to him. Why didn't we get that?
Right?
That's more fun. I guess they have to make it look a little more serious. Like,
I was about to say, that was the actual like unplannedness of them actually caring about him. This one was like the producers like, hey guys, go like ask Zach how he's doing by balcony. Like, we need
to. Yeah, I guess we know who his real friends are, the ones who
the off camera interactions.
Mm-hmm. Right. But this just felt so sad. It's just like, oh, like, you know, like, he's just there by himself on his balcony, just sad and missing his wife and thinking all kind of scary thoughts about her being mad at him. So I'm so upset that we got like two episodes, but this was really like the like honeymoon episode to me. I feel like we got a lot more like honeymoon content on this episode. And it's just sad that Zach and Michaela were just not in it, you know, and, you know, of course, because of the reasons. But, you know, it was just sad that they weren't there. I really missed them on my TV screen.
Same. It is really sad. And Amy, what did you think about Zach wearing the mask while they were at least 100 feet away from him?
I think it's like, because he's a diagnosed case, I think they're like, we have to show every possible, you know, like, just in case, you know, that one droplet travels that far, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it was, and even when he was like totally by himself, but they wouldn't want
to deal with the complaints.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way they can hear him because I can barely hear what he's saying.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But it's so weird that they didn't have any call from Michaela checking in, like, when she was back home. So maybe this is all in the course of a day. So
very true. So it's like the meat of what we got from them was not on the episode. It was on the next time on. Mm-hmm. So we see next time he's going to surprise Michaela. He has roses. She's like, oh my gosh, you know, hi. And she's very excited to see him. But then, and then we see all the other couples and them getting back and stuff. And then cut to Michaela is livid at Zach. She's like, no, you didn't come back. And he's like, I came back at 9:15. And it's showing us like the footage of like the camera in their apartment where she comes out and she's like slammed something on the table because she woke up and Zach wasn't there. What do y'all think happened?
This is really weird here. Like, I don't know, man. That footage of Michaela, I was so sad that she looked like she had had it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one of those just like, you know what I'm saying? Like the frustration from that, just that clip it of her, like just realizing he wasn't there, like looking around and then just like smacking that thing hard on the table. I don't know, but it's interesting that we're getting this early, you know? Mm-hmm. So if we're getting this early, maybe they can still get through it. I don't know. I'm holding out so much hope for them, but I don't know. I really hope it's nothing too bad. I hope like, maybe, you know, if he's still feeling some lingering effects or something, you know, I don't know. I don't know why he said he would be home, but she'd be like, I woke up and you weren't there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Weird. It's not a good sign from what we've seen on other past couples where that's been a situation, but.
Right. Hmm. Like, it's different where it's like that one. Okay. So for the next time on, for Bao and Johnny, Johnny was like, I'm going to go home after this, which I'm assuming he's just going to go home after dinner to pick up a few things and come back. Like, that can, that's a positive assumption we can make. But with this, like, how can we make any positive assumptions without thinking like, oh, there's true trouble in paradise.
Right.
Yeah, there was pure frustration. I mean, on her face and his, like him getting confronted by her because she's like livid. So I don't know what to think. We're not getting a. It's like, I don't know. It's like they're not getting a fair shot. But I don't even know how to feel.
Yeah, I'm just hoping like we still have like her like shutting the door on the producers. We still have him like driving away. And it's just like, I don't know where this can go other than they clearly, you know, have that type of chemistry that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that really like really good. I don't want to say explosive chemistry, but you know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know. They're still strangers, though. You know, they're still strangers. They still have to find a way to communicate better or in a way that each other understand. And if Michaela is the type of person who communicates like very big and boldly, but Zach is the type that walks away, normally those don't mesh well. So that could be what we're looking at. But hey, at this point, we're all just guessing.
Exactly.
Like you said, we're just trying. I'm just trying to do mental gymnastics in my head to make it everything okay.
I don't even want to invest in it anymore in terms of trying to figure out what it is because of what they did about the COVID thing and that mentally it can't be next to you. So I'm like, okay, this could be.
Very true, Amy. Very true.
So if, I mean, we're basing this on not much, but if you had to rate them, Amy, on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being they are for sure going to get a divorce, 5 being they're going to stay together, where would you rate them this week?
Because we did see this scene a little more clearly in the preview, I'll have to give them a 4. Just because I'm so unsure now, and we don't... Well, we saw a little bit of, like, he had, like, a short-term sacrifice for, you know, Forever Paradise or something that they're texting
for a
long-term about.
Paradise.
So that's cute. And so they are still texting and FaceTiming. We just didn't really get a window into it too much.
Yeah.
So I'll say 4.
What about you, Mari?
Yeah, same. Until we get more information on what's going on, I'll still give them a 4 because, you know, they have consummated their marriage, unlike some other couples. And you know, I do think they're compatible. It'll just again come down to them doing the work in order to stay together. And I agree. Like, if they were really FaceTiming, why didn't we get any of that? Unless they're really trying to make us think it's one way, and then they're trying to swerve us. Like, they're trying to make us think there's trouble in the paradise, but it really isn't. So
yeah,
I'll give them a 4.
I didn't appreciate Jose like saying that he wanted like the Romeo Juliet, like we're going down together kind of thing. Like, he would say that, but come on.
Okay. Right. Same thing. My husband just happened to walk in during that part, and I was like, of course he would say some stuff like that. Yeah. Like, oh, I hope my wife would stick with me and we both get sick and die. Like, of course you would, Jose. Of course you would. Because, you know, Zach and Michaela's was literally the exact opposite because Michaela wanted to stay and Zach was like, no, I cannot, you know, I don't want you to get sick. But also, guys, do we not think there's like some liability that the show wants to like avoid?
Yeah, but I was thinking that I was like, okay, I understand like casting or not the cast, but the crew. Okay, there are people involved if Michaela does stay, right? But I'm like, you put her on a plane and send her back to Houston. So if she was exposed and maybe just there wasn't a positive COVID test yet, you just put more people at risk by putting her on a plane rather than just letting her quarantine there in a separate room.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, I was like, I was so confused by that, but I feel like they had to. There was some logic there, I hope.
They should have done surveillance testing where they gave her the first test and then they tested her within 36 to 72 hours again to confirm the negative.
Yeah.
Look at us. We should be in production.
That also was that's reminding me that on Unfiltered last week, Jamie Otis showed the clip of, you know, like Michaela getting upset and that they had to be that she didn't want to be separated. And I think the panel, so it was Bao, Brett and Rachel. Mm-hmm. So they all were kind of like, that doesn't seem very supportive. You know, they were like, she should have been more supportive that he was sick and that she made it about her. So I thought that was interesting. I mean, I kind of was on the same side last week where I just thought she should have taken it a little more seriously and been okay to like separate from him. But I thought it was interesting that even Rachel, who was like before saying like, yeah, you know, like that would be so hard, you know? So it was interesting.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like it was totally her decision to go home, but maybe it was, and we just aren't aware. I just feel like we're lacking so much information with this entire couple, right. With this couple.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm also at a 4 only because I feel like I am, you know, trying to move about with little to no information, mm-hmm. only their greatly edited, you know, previews. Because we know they can edit any situation to make you feel any type of way. So,
okay, exactly.
That's the only reason I'm like apprehensive.
And also, like, you know, for quarantining after a positive COVID test, your quarantine can go anywhere from 7 days to up to 21 days, depending on like the severity of your case and mm-hmm. how they decide to treat you, especially since he was also in a different state and he would have to like go back to Houston. So that's like that's a range of either 1 week to 3 weeks where he could have possibly had a quarantine. So do you blame her of possibly losing up to 3 weeks out of their 8 week experiment right. and not being mad about it, you know? So mm-hmm. like, I just feel like there's grace to be giving on both sides mm-hmm. because, yeah. you know, nobody has an answer to this. We're all like flying by the seat of our pants. So, you know, thousands of families have had to make this decision on, you know, if somebody gets sick, what does your household do? You know?
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so funny that this is the first time that we're talking about the impacts of COVID and it's yep. the third season that they have filmed during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So cool. So that's where the next week we'll definitely have more to say about them, but that's all they gave us this week. So the next couple, this is kind of a big episode for them in a few ways, was Mirla and Gail. So just overall, how are you feeling about it, like in this moment about Mirla and Gail, Mari?
Okay, guys, did this feel like a Gail heel turn to you? I was like, this episode, I was like,
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I like you as much as I thought I liked you.
Like he was saying that about you. You're saying that he felt that about
Mirla. That's how we're feeling about
you,
him.
That's how you feel about him. I feel about him. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. There's some things in this episode where I was like, I don't know. Yeah. Them as a couple, again, they, the producers, this, I feel like this is the true, like, well, I want to say this is the true oil and water couple.
Mm-hmm.
And just from the spending habits and stuff like that, it seems to be like the major thing. But I do see why, like, their backgrounds are just so similar. They're like, it seems like they do have the same values, but like sticking people together, like the dog, not considering the dog thing, like that doesn't even make sense.
Uh-huh.
And Asia
uh-huh.
comes on here every week and talk about how much she loves her dog. Uh-huh. So right. why would you put somebody with somebody uh-huh. who doesn't even want to like take care of a dog? You know,
exactly.
I think when they do that every like They do that at least like once a season.
Yeah. It makes no sense.
Very annoying because, you know, people take their pets seriously. I have a dog as well.
Yeah, how hard is it to find a dog lover around here? Like everyone, all three of us are.
Exactly. It is not that hard unless you're intentionally trying to do this, you know? And they're like, well, that'll be one source of conflict. That's not a source of conflict. That is a whole, like, that is people's fur babies. Yeah. That is not something to be like negotiated on a TV. So like, I feel like they could be good together, but I just don't know if they're going to get there within this 8 weeks. And Mirla, I do feel like she needs to open up a little bit, but then like, I don't know. This is the couple that, again, it could go either way. They are definitely going to need to take the whole process to figure out what they're going to do. So I am excited to see their journey. My overarching thoughts.
Yeah, I totally agree that this felt like how do you phrase it? Like you said, Gil was having a heel turn.
Yes,
if you have not listened to the wrestling wrap up, go check it out, because the only reason I know what that means is because I listened to the wrestling wrap up. So yes, I totally agree. There were so many moments that I paused this episode and I literally like it was like a Jim Halpert, where's my cameraman? Because are you serious that this man just said that? And it was like, it got to the point like my roommate was like cracking up because I was just like, are you serious? I can't believe he just said that. And I mean, we'll get into it because I definitely gonna point those things out. But yes, I'm like, it just, there were plenty of moments during this honeymoon that he was trying to paint Mirla to just be like, oh my gosh, she's this princess, she's this, she's that. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Your reaction to that is the wild part of this, not her feeling how she feels. So, oh my gosh, I totally agree. So diving into their storyline. So we got this scene where, you know, she brings up, he talks loudly in his sleep, no biggie. But they start talking about last name. So he brings it up again. He's like, hey, I want to talk about like what we were talking about at the wedding at our table. And she's like, what are you talking about? And he was like, our last names. Like, so, you know, why wouldn't you want to take my last name? And she's like, well, like, I really like my last name. He's like, well, since you're Mexican, you could like do your last name and do like a De La, like my last name. And she's like, well, I like my last name because like it's really connected to my father who we know has passed away. So, and then he's like, well, now I kind of feel bad. He's like, well, okay, we'll come back to this conversation. I just feel like it's like, you know, we'll have to come up with a compromise. And I did. So my roommate is Mexican. And so I asked her like, is this a common thing? And so she did say yes, that, I mean, there are a lot of names with, you know, like we may see like De La Cruz, or I just didn't know how the formation of that happened. Like, was it a maiden name? And then like, was this something that was commonly done? But a lot of people do keep their original's last name. So what did y'all think about this conversation?
Quick question. Did she say anything about like hyphenated? Because I thought most like Mexican or Latino people who try and keep the both names, it's like a hyphen sometimes.
She didn't say hyphen. She just said she wanted to keep hers. But yeah, I've seen it needed to.
Okay, yeah, that's what I've seen.
I've also seen where it's like somebody might have like their mother's name and their father's name, but then they don't take the married name because they already have like two last names, you know. So I think it's really like depending on, you know, maybe what like your family has done.
Personal. And, yeah, any listeners, reach out and let us know like is this something common or not, because I mean, I don't care. As somebody who is married, I did take my husband's last name. But I do still agree that it's all personal choice and personal preference. But I think also the situation of it all, I wonder if she would be so adamant about keeping her last name if this was somebody she had like went through the regular way of finding, you know what I'm saying? I think that would be, that's probably the question weighing on Gil's mind.
Yeah.
You know, is it like, and when he keeps saying, we'll come back to that, it's like, will you come back to that? Because if she's, you know, she keeps saying like, this is what she wants, you know, maybe that's what she wants. But I think he's like, okay, maybe once we're like in love and we decide to stay together, then we can talk about it, you know. later. But, you know, I don't fault her for that. It's what she wants to do. You can't force anybody to take your last name. And I mean, I don't think she would be using that as an excuse. Mirla seems perfectly fine with saying no.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I think he'll have to come to terms with understanding that, like, okay, this ideal scenario he had in mind coming into this marriage, especially the fact that he doesn't know her, that, okay, maybe this will just be something that I'll have to, you know, deal with, or, you know, this is not a battle that I'm going to win, because he's just like, I'm traditional. So, you know, I would want you to take my last name. And she seems persistent. So I think that should be the end of that conversation. But they're going to revisit it. So I'm sure we're going to see more of that, probably in the form of an argument. So the next thing that we saw from them was during the group meetup. So the whole, all four couples, since Zach and Michaela are not there, all four couples met for dinner out on the beach. And so they all FaceTimed Zach. And I thought it was really funny that Zach was like, oh, I'm so, you know, I'm sad that, you know, I affected this honeymoon for Michaela. And Mirla was like, she ain't missing much. Yeah. I was like, oh.
Mirla doesn't miss an opportunity to drag this resort.
I know. And that's what's like, for me, that's kind of becoming endearing, that she does not hide how she's feeling.
Right.
Like, yeah. What you see is what you get.
Right. And I kind of don't blame her, like, in a sense. I mean, that resort ain't all that. So, I mean, does she need to keep reminding, you know, does she have to keep saying it? No. Mm-hmm. But I thought this was funny. This made sense.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
And I seriously don't blame her, because that resort don't look all that great. Sorry to this man, whatever that hotel is, but it's not putting its best foot forward on TV.
Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, the group was talking about like things that they've talked about, and Gil said like he feels like they talked about a lot of things except for finances, and he knows that'll be a difficult conversation because of they treat money a little bit differently, and he calls her a princess, but she seems to be she finds it like as a term of endearment, so that's good. But then Gil brings up like, okay, what do you think about, have y'all had a conversation, basically saying, have you had a conversation about politics? And Gil's standpoint is that it would not be a deal breaker for him if the experts had matched him with someone who was, let's say I'm a Democrat, my wife's a Republican, and Mirla was like, whoa. He's like, I'm just saying, let's say that was the situation. So basically, it's not a deal breaker for him, because he thinks that has no place in a relationship. Mirla was like, oh no, that is a deal breaker for me. Mm-hmm. And she was very clear on that. She even says she has gotten rid of friends because they voted the opposite way of her. And Gil was like, you could tell at that moment, Gil was getting a little bit angry, because he's like, okay, mm-hmm. well, that's just petty. He's like, I think we're at the age now where, you know, hopefully you're voting based on like where you want to go in life. And Mirla's like, no, it's not about me. It's about people, because that's selfish. And Gil disagrees with that. And so they definitely see this very differently.
So can we guess where each one of them voted?
Yeah, right. She knows how. Ryan was just enthusiastically nodding along, like he was just been waiting for someone to agree with him. And like,
yes.
This was so awkward.
So, okay. I think, so this is where this is my guess. Mm-hmm. I think that Gil may currently identify as a Democrat. I think Mirla has always identified it as a Democrat, because I think if he didn't, Mirla would have a bigger issue with them together, because she has said how hard of a deal breaker it is. But right. I do think that fundamentally Gil is a Republican, because what he was saying, obviously Ryan was wholeheartedly agreeing with.
Yes.
I think it may be a point now where he's seeing like he may have not agreed with the past administration per se, but he agrees with, you know, Republican viewpoints.
Interesting. Interesting that you think that you think that he actually does have Democratic leanings, because I was just from that whole conversation. He's like, oh, how, where you want to go in your career and stuff like that. And I'm like, sir, I mean, this is not a political podcast, but I agree with Merla, and we've talked about it. You guys have talked about it, to match people and not take into consideration their political leanings, especially with today's political landscape. Like, it's just kind of irresponsible. Yeah, it's so irresponsible just because of just the more recent inflammatory things. I think that could have been true, years ago, like maybe your political affiliation didn't affect, you know, much of your life or how you interact with your significant other. But times have changed. Things have gone extreme on both ends. So there's like, you can't, that's some things that I know people for a fact, like Mirla, like myself, it's a deal breaker and it's okay. Like, that's not,
That's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing to have that as a deal breaker. I don't care what anybody says. So, this was very, very interesting. I wonder if you're right, Asia, like that he is, maybe fiscally conservative or socially, liberal. But I don't know. Get like, again, the more that Gil talks, I'm just like, sir, he has that like witty banter and all of that, but it can be cutting sometimes. And that's coming from somebody who loves a good sarcastic wit, a sharp retort, as you will. But like, you and Mirla don't know each other like that. You still, you know, for you guys to be throwing these bombs at each other like that. And she's a good sport, though. I think she can dish it as much as she can take it. And you know, that might be one of the ways they flirt, but he calling her princess every 2 seconds, like just commenting about,
but then she got mad when he said darling and he's like, oh, sorry, princess. So maybe she likes that.
Maybe preferences.
It was weird. This just, I thought it was interesting that he brought it up. It clearly became very divisive around the table. But interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. And the only reason I think he's leaning right is because we didn't get like a follow-up conversation with Gil and Mirla about this, because she's so passionately like, this is a deal breaker for me. I feel like we would have gotten a conversation similar to how we did for Brett and Ryan. And the fact that we didn't, I would assume that they have talked about it and she has an understanding of where he's at.
That makes sense.
So Amy, what'd you think about this, I guess, exchange?
Yeah. It's hard to know like where this is going to go, because it's sort of like Mirla has these, like, this is a deal breaker for me, but then she seems like she's attracted to him. Like, I think she likes the banter. So I think it just depends how, like, it's going to go with them, you know, like what wins out.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was very interesting. Especially the fact that he brought it up. I was like, okay, as if we didn't already know, he's going to be that guy that brings up stuff that people don't want to talk about. Then the second kind of bigger conversation they had at this group dinner was consummating the marriage. So Johnny actually asked about that. So with Gil and Mirla, they have not consummated their marriage. And Mirla said, like, you know, I need love and trust before doing those things. And Gil was like, yeah, like, you know, that doesn't define us. But I was like, if she wanted to, you would be totally down.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And again, you can't blame Mirla for wanting to be comfortable. Like, you know, people are like, oh, she hasn't even kissed him yet. Like, sometimes I do watch and I think, like, is she interested in him? Because we don't know, because she hasn't kissed him. But like, you really can't rush anybody into that, mm-hmm. you know. But I think it's the situation, because of the uniqueness of marrying somebody at first sight. Whenever you don't do something, it's questioned as, are you don't doing that? Are you not doing that because you don't like me? As opposed right. to, this is probably her. Like, again, Mirla seems very straightforward. So this is probably her in her regular life. Like she said, she probably takes her forever to warm up to people and get physically intimate and stuff like that. But when you're in this experiment, you couldn't help if Gil internalized that, you know, mm-hmm. because they just don't know each other and you just don't have the luxury of time. And you guys spoke about it. And we spoke about it together last season with Ryan and what's her face?
Clara.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we saw how that turned out. So yep. It's hard to know. It really is hard to know when you're in this situation. Is that just that person's comfortability level, or do they just don't like me personally?
Yeah, that is very true. Very true. So that pretty much was all we got from them on that group date. The next thing we got from them was a surprise, but a date that Gil had set up for Mirla on the beach. And they were kind of sitting in this like cabana type thing, and a waiter brought out some gelato, and Gil had ordered it. And so Mirla's like, so wait, is it vegan? And he's like, well, just try it. And she's like, well, is it vegan? And he's like, yes, it's vegan. It's vegan. Mm-hmm. But then she eats it. And he's like, I'm trying to do something nice for her. But I got to think, like, I can't just think about what I think is thoughtful. I got to think about what, you know, she thinks is thoughtful. I'm like, that was one of the moments I paused the TV, because I was like, yes, Gil, her love language. That's exactly what you have to do. You have to think about your partner's perspective. What are you talking about?
But the way he said that, like, he knows he can't even bring chocolate chip cookies because then she'd be offended. But mm-hmm. she can bring them for him. So
right, exactly.
Yeah, don't want to get something that's like against her dietary requirements. That's pretty straightforward.
Exactly. I'm like, yeah, she's vegan. Yeah, exactly. If she's vegan, don't give her, like, why would she think
you? Try it.
It's just like, yeah, exactly. She's like, no, I don't do dairy. Literally a dietary restriction. Whether it's by choice or not, like, that's, I mean, like, that's what she's doing. So, you know.
I do like that he is, like, the light bulb went off and he is trying to do things for her. So I do mm-hmm. like that he hasn't really, like, he hasn't given up or anything like that.
Yes.
Because, again, it's still, like, 3 or 4 days in. And, you know, she has admitted that she has walls up and she's like hard to get to know, but he seems to be like really trying to put in the effort, even though she loves to do her whining and complaining as well.
Exactly.
But again, if these two put in enough work, it could work.
Right. It's possible. Like, they get along. Like, they, I feel like their banter back and forth, it seems playful and fun. But my concern is, like I brought up last week, is just if they get stuck there and it's like friend zone and, you know, not able to, like, she's not able to see him romantically. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on how long they keep this up.
Yeah.
But also they had a discussion about their upbringings, and they both grew up poor. Mm-hmm. She brought up how, like, she grew up in like a 300 square foot space or shack, where it was like five people in her family. And he said, like, he grew up poor as well. But she did talk about, like, although she hasn't always been able to, you know, provide for herself like she can now, she has always wanted to. So she's like, when she was younger, she wanted to shop. She just couldn't. So he's like, oh, you've been a diva like your whole life. And so she's like, yeah, she's like, I didn't choose this life. This life chose me.
mean, do you blame her? Like, when people grow up in circumstances like that, you either become like really tight on your money, like very fiscally responsible, or you want to do the things you saw that you couldn't do. That like all of those reactions make sense to me, honestly, from the both of them sitting there. You both grew up pretty poor, and you just both went a different path. You know, he is like clutches the purse strings, and she wants the life that she thought that was owed to her, and that's not wrong. And this is where I feel like Gil again dropped the ball. Like she's opening up to him. Mm-hmm. You know, she was crushed. You know, you could hear the tears in her, you know, voice, and the, you know, welling up a little bit. At least I thought you could hear it.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh wow, he like made a joke out of it. He was like, oh, so you always been a diva. Like, this would have been the moment to like, you know what I'm saying? Like, kind of just rub her back and be like, oh, you know, that explains a lot of things. I'm so glad you opened up to me. Like, I don't feel like he got to that quick enough. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, he took it so light, and it just kind of brings you back to the part where she had told him about her father. And again, I think their initial interactions when we first saw them, it was because they were strangers. So we're like, okay, this is a little awkward because they're strangers. Now that we've seen them a few days, you know, into the process, you're like, okay, no, that reaction wasn't, you know, was not good, you know, with her father, and be like, oh wow, that's some movie stuff. Offer her any condolences.
Yes.
So like his comforting nature, or his like, he has not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the ability to be like nurturing, I guess.
Yes, there it is. The ability to be nurturing, or to at least sound it, or like, I also think he probably is, but he just doesn't have a way with words when it comes to like people opening up to him.
Yeah, I think he's like got that, like almost too focused on like being flirty and like the teasing banter kind of thing, that when like the situation really doesn't call for it,
right,
it still comes out. And I think now, like, they're at the end of the honeymoon, he hasn't gotten so much as a kiss. I think like his like is just a little like more likely to jump on something like negative, or you know, like just be a little more edge to him,
right? It's almost like he just like I know he's 35, but it's like, I mean, we found out what last episode, I think it was, that it's been 6 years since his last relationship. It's almost like he lacks the emotional maturity that, I mean, I know people get married at all ages. Mm-hmm. And
it has been Murray, like kind of in the dating mode and been in the flings, like a lot of first dates, probably. Like, we even, he didn't say 100, but, you know, he's had like, you know, it's not like maintaining a long term relationship.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so there was one more conversation they had on this little date about children. And so they were talking about like siblings. She has three siblings. He was raised as an only child, even though he does have siblings. And he kind of jokes, but not so jokes about
older or younger than him, I'm thinking, or like
right
for step sibling.
Right, exactly. So he jokes, kind of doesn't, I don't think, about wanting 7 to 8 kids. And she's like, whoa, and he's like, okay, we can like, you can have like 1 or 2 and then we can adopt the rest. And she's like, well, I don't want to adopt. And he's like, well, that's evil. And I literally paused the TV again. I'm like, first of all, you cannot shame someone for not wanting to adopt. I feel like everyone can have their own choice about if, you know, they think that adoption is right for them, just like everyone has their own choice about having kids or not. Like, you can't all of a sudden shame someone if they say like, I don't want to have children. They're like, don't you want to bring more people into this world? I mean, and you never, like, at this point we're on date 5 or 6 or 7, and you know, he doesn't know what she's gone through or what perspective she has with adoption. She could have, you know, had an experience when she was younger with adoption that has kind of steered her away. But she did clarify that she's open only if they've exhausted all forms of fertility. But I just thought his reaction to this was terrible.
So inappropriate. And it just continues his horrendous reactions. First of all, again, one of those moments where my husband was in the room and he said, hey kids, I said, From who? Like out loud. While staring at my child who's currently sick and just not having a good day. So I was like, eight kids where? Where, sir? No. No. Like, and then you didn't even like ease into that conversation. It was like, well, they did. They're like, oh, how many kids? Do you? And he's like, eight. We had eight. And she's like, no, you didn't even. Oh my God. So I don't blame her reaction to that many kids, first and foremost. And then the adoption thing, like, Gil is just not smooth. He's just not smooth. Like you said, he lacks the emotional maturity, it seems like. And maybe just like Amy said, with the one night stands or short, you know, flings or whatever, he never got into like the meat and potatoes of stuff, because this is just not how you react or ask or approach a situation like that. Adoption is a very serious thing. And yes, I very much applaud Mirla if she like stands her ground about that, because the worst thing you can do is adopt a kid that you don't want. Mm-hmm. That is literally the worst thing you can do. When it comes to adoption, because my family has experience when it comes to adoption, the adoption process and stuff like that. So like, that is just so annoying to me. And it just makes me think of, you know, the Love and Hip Hop podcast that you're just on, Asia, where they're currently going through an adoption storyline. Mm-hmm. On that show, it's like, kids need homes, but they also need good homes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what we really want here. So do not force your significant other or your spouse to adopt if they don't want to.
Please.
Please. Because it can just lead to a whole bunch of other worse problems, not only for you as a couple, but for the person you have adopted. So that was very annoying to me.
Yeah, so that was tough, because I mean, I applaud anyone who wants to adopt, anyone who has the heart to adopt. But it's just like, Gil, do not shame a woman for honestly and vulnerably telling you that she does not want to adopt, knowing very well, like, she's on camera. She know, like, it's not like, you know, she's trying to be mean or evil or it. So I just like,
I think
you
that's
said,
kind just, of where he was probably coming from, is that he was just like, taken aback that she was so firm on it, and was just like, oh, that sounds so evil. And I think he was trying, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt that maybe he's just trying to be playful again, like, oh, these kids that need it, you know. But it's just a more serious topic than you should just sort of like, you know. And I like, I have to hope that he's kidding about wanting like two vans full of kids too. Like,
right.
You're 35, you know, like, let's chill a little bit.
Hey, men can have children even when they're 70. So,
yeah. Well, but Mirla is 35 as well, too.
Right.
Not having eight kids with her.
True. Yes.
Sorry, but didn't Mirla say in the first episode that she, like, she's like barely willing to give the one, depending on how her body snaps back? Didn't she say something to that effect?
That sounds like it, she said it.
So eight where, sir?
Yeah.
And this was just like a long list of things that I've been noticing with how they're editing Mirla and how Gil is commenting on Mirla. Because I'm like, you're not about, I think that was when I realized I was starting to agree with some things that she was saying. I'm like,
yes,
trying to paint her to be just this just unreasonable diva. And I'm like, a lot of the things she says are realistic. I mean, and they're honest. That's, I was like, that's, I'm just listening with just like a chip on my shoulder now. Like, no, don't try to make her out to be someone that she's not.
Exactly. All of the stuff that she is so far, like, minus the going in on the hotel, but like a lot of stuff that she's drawn the line on has been perfectly reasonable stuff that, you know, requires like consent and all of that, you know. So I agree. This was that episode where I was like, oh my gosh, I don't think Mirla is like annoying.
Yeah. So they did have the second group activity, which was going out on a boat. And then once they got out there, they were going to paddleboard. And so when they went out there, when they were on the boat, Gil initiated a game of Never Have I Ever. Mm-hmm. The main takeaway there was that Mirla has cheated. So they just kind of laughed about that.
I think she told him. I think she said, oh, you knew about that.
Yep. He's like, well, they did it. So that's good. They've been having these like in-depth conversations because I knew they talked about relationships, but it's good that they've talked about like, you know, to that level of like, yeah, I've had a relationship where I wasn't faithful. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty much the main piece from them from that second group date. Mirla did surprise Gil. She had a huge platter of chocolate chip cookies for him waiting in their hotel room. She said she knew that he loved chocolate chip cookies, and she was so right because he was so happy when he saw them. He was like, these are like flowers. This is basically foreplay. And we find out like this is their last night together. And then we have they're on such a high. They're so high. They're on such a high. Like she's like, I can't wait to get back and start creating our home together. And then he said, well, I'm really interested to see how you interact with Hype, who is his dog, who he has had since is the dog a girl or boy? Do y'all know?
I don't know.
A boy. Okay. So she said, so he was like, I'm interested to see how you interact with him. And she's like, as long as I don't have to walk him because I'm not dealing with any poop. And he's like, well, like I have a dog walker now because, you know, he's a firefighter. He has 24-hour shifts at times. And Mirla was like, well, we can continue to have a dog walker. He's like, well, no, if I have an able-bodied person at home, that's a waste of money. She's like, well, I feel like this is being forced on me. He's like, well, I find it hard to get to know you, to continue to get to know you further, knowing basically that she feels this way. She doesn't want to walk the dog. So, Amy, what'd you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, he has a point. Like, I think more like than the dog walker thing, though, it's more like just this should be a deal breaker if she just can't like accept that this is a member of the family kind of thing, you know? So, mm-hmm. And he was kind of getting on her about just how she pays for like everything that like errands, you know, like other people have errands. You don't have errands because you pay for people to do everything. And so I think he also kind of wants to like have this be something that she does like, so that to kind of change her a little bit because she would outsource everything. And so I think to picture her just sitting at home and having someone come interact with the dog. And that's kind of showing that she's not ever going to get there if they have a dog walker right away.
Yeah. Like that's her norm. Mm-hmm. Like as a dog lover, Mari, is Gil's reaction justified?
Well, no, I'm sorry. Like people, not everybody likes dogs. So like, try to force her to like your dog is not going to make her like your dog. Like for instance, mm-hmm. my dog, we've had her for 9 years now. Right. And my husband's mom always wanted a dog, but his grandma wouldn't let her because she doesn't like dogs. So when we would visit, we would have to bring our dog. And James's grandma started with like, stay over there. Like her and my dog Ripley, would be like 6 feet away from her, just staring at her, just waiting. And over the years, like slowly and slowly, now when we come, his grandma's like, oh, where's Ripley at? And she sits right next to her. She like, and dogs have a sense, you know, when if people don't like dogs or not, or like kind of what the edge is. And my dog knows the edge. She knows like, okay, I'm gonna go up to my mom and I'm just gonna sit here and I'm gonna let her pet me. I'm not gonna jump on her. I'm not gonna get overly hype because that's not how we interact. You know what I'm saying? And now she loves Ripley. But it took time. Mm-hmm. And we did not say, hey, you gotta get used to our dog. That's not how it works at all. And I felt like Mirla was saying like, you know, the dog's fine as long as I don't have to take care of it. And I don't really think she said it in a rude way, like, you know, like say Chris did last season when he said like F that dog or whatever.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, And again, also, you're paying for a dog walker already. Now we have double incomes. We can just continue to pay for that dog walker until I feel more comfortable. I just think like Gil, like another thing that he's trying to rush when I get you only have 8 weeks. But then also you got to be she has to get comfortable. And I you see how slow she moves, and pushing her is not going to get the job done. So I'm sorry. I found myself agreeing with Mirla a lot this episode, just because it's like, you guys are still on your honeymoon. Like she said, she was excited. This moment was so funny because I was like, oh, they're really getting along. I really thought that they were.
Yes.
I thought they were gearing up for the kiss, and then it just all like just deflated really quickly because they got into the dog comments. But then again, I also do, like I said at the beginning of the show, I agree with Gil in a sense, like why would the experts match him with somebody who's not dog friendly when you know he has a dog? So again, that's on the experts, but you're already here now. You're already married. So at this point, you got to try and, you know, make it work. And again, shoving your dog down somebody's throat is not going to help make them like your dog.
Yeah, it's such a solid point, because it's like, okay, knowing that you don't like dogs, okay, I already feel a type of way that your negative energy is going to be entering into that situation. But so it's like, okay, yes, there needs to be time that is taken. And it's like Gil wants her to run in open arms. Like, no, Gil, as Hype's owner, you should know like how, you know, the interaction is going to go, especially knowing where Mirla stands right now. So I think like, so on Gil's side of it, it was like, he didn't see any like give and take, kind of how you said, like, okay, if Mirla's going to be like, okay, let's continue the dog walker. If she's like, okay, let's continue the dog walker until I'm comfortable enough doing it myself. It was like, he just saw it as like a forever thing. She's like, well, I'm never dealing with that. But it cannot be that hard to find a woman that meets the criteria that Gil is looking for, even a man that meets the criteria that Mirla is looking for, a man that doesn't own a dog, and a woman who loves dogs, you know, like either way, because there's so many dog lovers out there, and there's so many people who don't like dogs or don't like pets or are only cat people. Like it's such an important, it's not just a, oh, you don't like cheese? I like cheese. So this is a fundamental flaw that's going to be in our relationship. No, it's like, I'm not going to get along with some, you know, this part of your family, just like, you know, people dealing with mother-in-laws and, you know, siblings that they don't get along with, like their partner siblings. So I think it's a really big issue that the experts took too lightly.
Yes, very much.
So we, I mean, that was pretty much all we got from them on this episode. Not all we got. We got a pretty good amount.
But yeah, I was spending almost an hour on killing me. Right. I am so sorry, guys.
No, you're good. They had some very important conversations on this episode. So I'm really interested to seeing where things go, because on the next time on, the only thing we saw from them was like, okay, everybody's moving to their apartments. We really didn't get confirmation that they do truly both move in, but I'm going to be hopeful that they do. And Mirla sees Gil kissing Hype, and she's like, oh, you kiss your dog? And Gil's like, well, I got to get the kisses from somewhere. You're not doing it. So where does that leave y'all with ratings?
Okay, I'll go first. I guess it's, I'm gonna give them a 3, because I still feel like they can go either way. Mm-hmm. They're very middle. Again, there's nothing that has tipped the scale that I think is like, oh my God, run, break up with him. So I'm gonna give them a 3.
All right. I am also gonna give them a 3, because I also agree they could go either way. It really is pivotal how they spend these first few days back in Houston, how she gets along with Hype, because it does seem like a deal breaker for him. Like, whereas politics were not a deal breaker, Hype is a deal breaker for him. So I think it's going to be very influential like how her interactions are with Hype. I think first and foremost, I think even, you know, balancing his work life and her work life is going to be fine. I think she's even going to love the 24-hour break from time to time. But this living arrangement is going to be very interesting. So I'm also a 3. Where are you at, Amy?
Not to just add on, but I was at a 3 as well. Okay. It's hard to know because I see some positive things just in the kind of their playful teasing of each other, but then these fundamental things that will come up more when they're living with each other.
Yep.
So,
Yeah. So we maintained our 3 from last week. So something's got to give. They got to go one way or another. So next, which couple do you want to get into? I think,
let's see. Rachel and Jose, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, let's dive into this interesting duo.
Feed us what happened, Asia.
So they wake up and they're just making out. I mean, and they were bragging about the fact that they hadn't brushed their teeth the first time they met out, like the morning after the wedding. So I'm sure that has not occurred yet. They're just so happy. And he has planned a bike ride. And she's like, oh, great. Well, actually, I don't know how to ride a bike. And he's like, okay, it's fine. Like, I taught myself how to rollerblade in a store the first 5 minutes I was there. So, like, I could teach you how to ride. I mean, 1 + 1 = 3 in that situation. And then she pulls out a notepad where she has this list of questions. But we only get the first question. And she tells him the question she asked for him is, what do you want to do before kids? She's like, well, my answer is like, I want to go to Switzerland and, you know, do all these different things. He's like, whoa, okay. My biggest thing is that, like, that's a lot of money. I'd prefer Vegas or New York City, you know, and as we lead up to kids so we can have enough money for kids. And she's like, well, this is weird because, like, I'm used to taking a trip every month and, like, a big trip every 2 years. This is another big financial difference that they have.
So does Rachel have money? Because it kind of makes it feel like they're kind of painting her as a scrub. Did she say she was in debt? I can't remember.
I don't remember that, but the other thing now I'm remembering from Unfiltered is she said that she opened a new credit card just to take a trip to Europe. So she didn't have the money to do it.
Okay, that is gonna rip.
But, yeah, it is a tad irresponsible.
Or just a tad. Not, you know. Yeah, so first off, not Jose's eyes lighting up when he thought he could teach her to ride a bike. Like, they're trying to...
I didn't even put that together. But yeah, it's like another thing. Like, let me just, yes, like, you're, yeah, like a 5-year-old.
He can teach, yes, and control and, you know, like, I just don't... his energy, I can't. But anyway,
like, opening the wine, he was just like, upset that she wanted to do it.
Right.
Like, he wants to do everything, and I don't. Yeah, his energy is so off to me. But I want to go to Switzerland too. I don't think I'm going anytime soon, but I do remember watching a season of Amazing Race and be like, oh my God, Switzerland looks amazing. And I like that she, like, put it out there. Him being, it's weird. It's weird for me because finance is what he does, right? Isn't that, like, his job or whatever?
I can't remember exactly.
We just know
he's working for NASA good and stuff.
Yeah, like, and he has, like, his master's. He got 2 masters, but I can't remember his actual job description.
Well, at least he's good at finances. At least from what we saw with the big board. I love how Jason broke that down. Mm-hmm. So, half of me is kind of like, oh yeah, well, you know, let them manage your money. Not having to worry about managing your money is normally like a weight off your shoulders.
Right.
But again, this is also a stranger you just met, and he's been exhibiting signs of like very controlling type flags. So I don't know if I would want to do that. I think his joint account things, it didn't sound too bad to me if I got that right. But basically, they have a joint account, but they also have separate accounts, right? And then you put mm-hmm. in a set amount for the joint account, and then whatever is left is in your regular account. Is that what he said? Right.
He was saying like they can have their own accounts, but everything goes into the joint account, and then you just pull what you need into the separate account.
Okay. that's similar to what I know I do. Mm-hmm. We put set amounts into the joint account, and then whatever is not the set amount, we leave in our regular. So that, gotcha. That's what, you know, so that seems fine. And then all of our bills automatically come out of the joint. So so it's so much easier. It really is. But I can see, but she was like, oh, I don't want an allowance. I was like, it didn't sound like an allowance to me. Mm-hmm. But if that's how she took it, then that's, you know, how she took it. And sorry, I think that was from last episode. But
yeah.
Rachel, I like that Rachel had the questions in the notebook, because I don't know if she would be able to ask them if she didn't. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like she goes back and forth between liking him taking the lead to then also being like, but I'm an independent woman. And then I'm glad she's finally showing that she's like stepping up and standing up for herself mm-hmm. Here. But she still seems to be glossing over some of the red flags.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, they're still in this la la land, as we saw on the group date, the dinner on the beach. They were just all over each other, just kissing. And it was really adorable that Johnny and Bao are kind of like fangirling over their relationship. They're just like, they're so cute together. They're just all over each other. There's so much chemistry. And so really the takeaway was just that the other couple's perception on Rachel and Jose was that they're all over each other. They would have guessed that they've already consummated their marriage, but they haven't. And they didn't really contribute to the political conversation. And so, yeah, that was literally them watching everybody else interact on during that dinner.
Their energy is just radiating off yeah. onto Johnny and Bao. So
right.
They couldn't even be bothered to think about politics yet. Maybe it's just not come up yet.
Right.
Something tells me they agree on politics.
Yeah. Yeah, because weren't they? What was one of them saying it would be a deal breaker? I don't know.
I can't remember. I was like, they didn't say anything. So much on
they didn't say anything. They just made facial expressions. Yeah. Like, Jose and Rachel just made facial expressions. But just from what I gather from both of them, they seem to be on the same side of the political spectrum.
Yeah. So we finally get to the bike date. And so Rachel's like, she feels insecure, like having him help her with things she doesn't know how to do. And so like they get set up, she's on her bike, he gets on his bike. He's like, let's just go. I'm like, how are you teaching someone how to ride?
Please. Thank you. I was like, this is not a lesson. This is a throwing somebody to the wolves.
Yes. And she's so lucky that she was able to just get it going and then put her feet on the ground, because she didn't know how to brake. She didn't know how to turn, but she did not crash and burn. So I was really impressed with her. For someone who doesn't know how to ride a bike, she did really well.
She did.
Yeah.
But can I just also like say, I honestly didn't know that they didn't consummate the marriage either.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I did not know. I didn't know. I think they fooled me too with all the touching and the feeling.
You bought in.
You're just like, I don't believe them.
Well, no. Like, I feel like in one of those episodes, they like woke up. They're like, oh my God, we had such a great night. And I just assumed, you know.
Yeah, I was surprised at how that conversation went later, when it was like, like the boxes checked, that's what it was referring to. Like, Jose has to have these certain boxes checked. Like, I would have thought he was ready to, like, you know, jump in bed right away. It's usually not the guy that we hear saying, you know. But I guess, you know, Claire and Ryan, same thing last time. It's like,
yeah,
one person has a different like timeline.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I was kind of surprised to hear that too. So while it's at the end of the bike date, she did bring up finances again. And well, I guess to wrap up the bike riding itself, she was really glad that he didn't like break her down for not knowing how to ride a bike, because she saw signs of that in her last relationship. And so that's what she was kind of feeling would happen. And so she's really appreciative of that. But then she brings up finances and he's like, she's like, I don't agree with the one account trickling down our own account thing. And then he's like, well, you know, I can't even remember how they got to it, but let's just make it awkward. And like, he just said, do you want to know my credit score? And he's like, waiting for perfect. That.
Right. I will tell you even if you don't want to know.
Right. Exactly. Did you say you want to know my credit score? And he lets everyone know his credit score is 815. And so she's like, whoa. Well, she's like, well, did you ask the experts for someone who was more like you? He's like, well, I did ask the experts for someone who was like more on my, or like someone who was on my level. And I was like, oh my gosh.
What does that even mean?
I know. With the same credit
100,
score?
Yeah, like within 100 points or something. But I'm kind of surprised that he didn't ask the experts, like, based on what we've seen of him, like for someone that needs to be taught and that he can take care mm-hmm. of, you know, like that he wants to rescue somebody or something.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like, make sure you give me someone below 600 so I can help bring them up. And so the second group date we had with them, with everybody on the boat, main takeaway was that Rachel has cheated. And that did make Jose a little bit uncomfortable, because he's like, you know, like my parents dealt with infidelity. So like, I would think, you know, why would you do that to someone? And Rachel just said, like, you know, I was young and dumb. It's just, mm-hmm. that's what you don't do. Never have I ever in this type of situation. This is like, I couldn't believe they were asking that stuff in front of each other.
Yeah. Big yikes. Big yikes energy on that, right. that game.
Yeah.
It's just, like, not a fun game to me when people you do not know.
Exactly. Like, especially your spouse. You still don't know them.
Yes. That is
time. Give it some time. And then the last section we got with them, they were at a he made a picnic. And so, like, Amy, like you referred to, you know, he brought the wine. She's like, oh, can I open it? And he's like, oh, no. I got it. Like, as the man, I'm going to do it. And she's like, no. I want to open it. He's like, oh, wait, you really do want to open it? And she's like, yeah. And so she takes it and she's like, oh, you were actually doing it wrong. And he's like, oh, fine. I'll let my wife do it. And this whole exchange, even though it was brief, it was like, he is so stuck in the gender roles. Like, mm-hmm. he's so stuck in, I'm the man, I need to do this. And she's the woman. As the wife, she does this. I'm the provider. And since he is, I'm not sure if he's like, you know, if he is Mexican or Hispanic or if he identifies like Latino. But it is very prominent in Mexican culture, at least, that men are raised, or I guess boys are raised, to really buy into those gender roles. Because my roommate was like, oh, this is totally typical. I see this all the time. So it was like, wasn't a surprise to her that that's kind of how he views it. Mm-hmm. But it could also be that he's like 35 and he's always thought, when I'm married, this is what I'm gonna do. And this is what my wife will do. So what y'all think about that?
Yeah, again, it's that dynamic that they really need to talk about, because he is very set in his ways, and they need to put it all out in the open, because I think there's stuff that Rachel agrees with and there's stuff that she doesn't. So she needs to be very clear on what she doesn't agree with and what she does, which I think she does. She does a good job, because she told him about she came back to the accounts thing and not liking that, and the teeth brushing thing. I think kind of her problem is in the moment she laughs it off, mm-hmm. and then he takes it, you know, he just keeps doing what he's doing, and then she comes back later and says like she has a problem with it, which is fine. It's better to say it than, you know, later than not say it at all. But I think with their dynamic, just like with the wine thing, he's like, oh, you're serious. Like, he doesn't know when she's serious.
Yeah, you know?
like he doesn't know when she's actually putting her foot down for something. I don't either, because she's very like she's very like smiley and like,
yeah, like fair. Like, fair. Yeah.
So I just think that she's doing a great job of telling him what she expects, but it is very reactive as well. You know what I'm saying? She's asking him what he wants, and then she's kind of saying what she will or doesn't want. She needs to be telling him what she wants and trying to see what if he can bend to her, not bend to her will, but accommodate her as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's tough because it does feel like she does have that difficulty communicating because of past relationships. So yep. I just hope 8 weeks is not too short amount of time for her to get there and be comfortable enough to communicate things to him without him like jumping to conclusions or like even communicating the finances. He's just like, oh, I got you. I'll take care of that. I'll do that. You know, like he's just like never wants her to worry, but it's like, let her get out her feelings, please. So then you can properly respond and not just jump down her throat with a solution.
Yeah. It kind of worried me when he was talking about like, oh, like I got what I asked for. Like, humble, educated, like put together, like classy or whatever he was, all these things, but he didn't ever say anything positive about like her wanting to be independent. Like he wasn't like, oh, I love that she also like has this independent side, or it was more like, yeah, but she still feels like, you know, she wants to be independent about this, you know, it seemed like just this sort of like, that's the one drawback. So, and then how she was talking with the other women and saying like, one of them was like, I love how we're all independent. And she's like, yeah, but like, I already feel like I've changed. So she's the one that says she changes with the guy.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. So you put her with a guy who like is so rigid and has no, like she, there's no way that he's changing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just to go back real quick to the conversation about them not consummating their marriage, it's really interesting to me. But like, we can't say, okay, it's okay for the women to have standards and then, you know, say the men can't have standards for why they don't feel like rushing into physical intimacy and stuff like that. But I mean, it just does not help him, unfortunately, because of all of the like internet rumors about him. So, and then I think even on the season previews, we see more of that too, right? Like, cause she, in this conversation, she's really being direct, like physical intimacy is important to me. And I feel like we need to make sure she's like, I'm scared that we're going to connect in all of these ways. And then maybe we don't connect in that way. Then what happens? And like, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I feel like, again, they're one of those couples that it can go either way.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was such a good point for her to bring up, because it was like, that's something that didn't even cross my mind, was that, but I was like, that's such a good point. It could be, but it could be that physical intimacy is one thing they don't connect on. But I honestly think that there are other areas they don't connect on. They're just not digging that deep to discover those things. And so it feels like they're so on the same page. It's like, no, you're so on the same page with like, you're happy that you're married and that you have someone now and that y'all can have conversations and have a good time. But I'm ready for them to get home to Houston to see how things turn out. But yeah, at the end of that conversation, he said, like, you know, she said that's very important for her. And he's like, well, no, you're looking at it wrong. Like, I think everything else needs to be in line before we even start talking about sex. He's like, I need to have all the boxes checked. If they're not checked, they're not happening. If you don't have a credit score that's below 600, this is not happening. So
it just doesn't come off well for him. Just like, It's like, I don't know if he's that confident in the bedroom,
That's where my mind went, too. I'm glad you said it.
He's like, I need to hook her in other ways.
Yes. She's not so impressed with my constant feeding or, you know, my credit score. What am I going to do?
Yeah, I honestly think he expected a bigger reaction from her about the 815. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said it. Mm-hmm. He would have just said, like, people say, like, oh, it's pretty good. You know, right. Like, you don't come out like 815. Did you write that down? You got it? Because I'm like, who has that on deck? I mean, I have to go to, like, Credit Karma to check. What it, I don't know it off the top of my head.
I can picture him, like, you know, you see, like, the microwave of the time. Oh, it's 815. Oh, that's my credit score. Did you know that?
Oh, no.
It's a gimmick.
Right. Yeah. Like, okay, it is impressive, but in this context, like, I think he is trying to impress her. But in her mind, she's like, okay, we are on different pages right now. So the only thing in the preview for next week that they showed with them, well, that they really didn't show anything with them besides moving into their new apartment and it looking really nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember anything.
There was nothing that stood out. So maybe they don't have any major drama next week.
I don't remember.
So, Amy, where do you stand with them this week as far as a rating?
I'm going to give them a 4. I think there's no way they're not together on decision day. I just think that they, because of the initial chemistry, but then they didn't have any kind of major blow up on the honeymoon, which usually, like, if a couple is like that touchy feely and just like so in love, then they might crash and burn really fast. And yeah, we didn't get any kind of preview that makes me think something really bad is happening anytime soon. So I think 4.
All right, I'm a little bit lower on them. I'm going to go with 3 only because the fact that they haven't argued, we haven't seen what it is like when they do argue. And I think it's only a matter of time that they're going to have a serious conversation, not see eye to eye, and then we see their true colors. Well, more so Jose. I have no concern about Rachel. I'm just a little concerned about how he may handle things because he's just been so, he's like riding high. Like, I don't quite see Jose like Johnny sees Jose. Or Johnny is just, bro has rose colored glasses when it comes to Jose. So I'm at 3 for now. What about you, Mari?
I'm going to go with Amy because I do think that they are one of those couples that is middling, but I'll give them a 4 because I think that no matter what, they might be together on decision day, but will they like be on couples cam? I don't know. You know what I'm right. saying? Like,
yeah, so
that's what I'm leaning more towards because the longer they put off digging deep, either they're going to be like Virginia and Eric and just push it off the whole 8 weeks and then figure out later, or, you know, the longer they push that off, that's not enough time to bounce back from it. The good thing for them, though, and then I don't know if we kind of talked about it on a lot of the next time on, it does look like Pastor Cal comes in and talks to them. So this seems like an early intervention by the experts could help a lot of these couples as well.
Yeah.
Was it Pastor Cal?
I saw him the next time.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to lean more toward the 4, even though I think they can go either way.
Okay. Nice. So on our married at first sight stockwatch, we're at a 4. Let's see. Okay. So the next couple that we're going to dive into is, I don't have the words for how this couple is making me feel, or a good comparison. Maybe it'll come to mind as we talk, but Brett and Ryan. So we start with her talking about how she has an irrational fear of everything in the water. And we already know how she has this fear of flying and how he felt about that. And so you know, now she's saying she's irrationally afraid of things that everything in the water. And he's joking about different wildlife they're going to run into, like sharks and stuff. And she's like, typically she does not face her fears, but because of the situation, she will be willing to. What are they doing? I swear, every conversation they have, he seems like the least interested person. Like, he could be anywhere else but that conversation.
He is so hard to read. Like, he is insanely hard to read. And then, like, he'll open up his mouth and it'll seem like he, like, he'll make a joke and you're like, oh, are you happy? Like,
right.
He is so hard to read. Mm-hmm. But man, is she, like, afraid of everything. They didn't even show us. We still want to know what happened on the plane. Did anything get any unfiltered anything? Did they say what happened on the plane? Mm-hmm. But, like, pairing her, again, this is another very much an oil and water couple where, like, he is a journeyman. He's a woodsman. He loves being outside. And she's afraid of everything. She's afraid of everything. She's afraid of kayaking. She's afraid of manatees. Would you like, aren't they like the gentlest? So I don't know. Let me not say that because
that would bother me if, like, you see, like, an amazing manatee right next to you and you, like, your partner won't even look at it.
Yeah.
So, like, this is so weird to me that they are, like, partnered up, and I feel so bad for Brett. I keep forgetting which one.
It's like, which one?
Because she is, it does seem like she's trying, but I don't feel like she has to try this. She shouldn't have to try this hard. They really did kind of like, because he's also reacting to her reacting, and he just seems like, oh, like, kind of so over it, which I don't kind of blame him because he just wants to have a fun day kayaking, and she's like yelling and not staring at the manatee that's been and freaking out, you know? So this couple, I don't think it's gonna work.
This made me think of Gil, though, because I'm like, if you know she's afraid of everything in the water, why are y'all going out in the water? I understand that would be fun for you. That would be fun for me, right? I would thoroughly enjoy kayaking out there and seeing wildlife. But for Brett, that is not something she enjoys. So is there nothing else they could have done around this resort that she, you know, I'm sure they have, like, tastings or something. You know, it'd be different if she was surprising him with this outing and saying, like, hey, I know you really like to do this, so this is, you know, I'm facing my fear to do this. But he planned it. So confused.
Mm-hmm.
So for the group outing, the major piece really is that, they talked about kind of what the things they're talking about right now are, like, within the couples. And because Johnny asked, like, has anybody had a tough conversation? And Brett's like, you know, she doesn't do well at asking questions. And so they haven't gotten to talk about a lot of stuff like last names and living arrangements, et cetera. And then Gil asked, like, the political party question. And Brett said, you know, Ryan was definitely agreeing with everything Gil had to say. And Ryan was like, if you care that much about one another, like, if you care one way or another, then you're not for me. It's like, okay, it's very clear.
It just doesn't affect his life at all.
Right. Exactly.
Must be nice.
Right. And Brett's like, well, if I was dating someone and we went on a few dates and I found out in a few dates in that they, you know, had opposing views or opposite views, then I'd probably end it. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting that they have these, like, it's similar to Gil and Mirla, but it's more so like it's evident, like, she knows they have different viewpoints, because then we do get the follow up later.
Mm-hmm.
So did y'all think there was a little bit of tension on either one of their sides during this conversation?
I was just getting, like, Virginia and Eric over again. Yeah. Just like, they have different personalities, but it's the same issue.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think it's very telling that not much was said at the table, but there were confessionals about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they said they hadn't had the deep conversations, the politics. Like, you could tell every word that Brett was saying was like, you know, like, oh, politically, yeah, kind of bothers me. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was very start and stop. Like, she didn't want to say anything that she didn't want to get him mad. It seemed we clearly know, like, where he leads on it. He was so enthusiastic. They're talking about money and fiscal and blah, 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 whatever, whatever, whatever. And it's funny, me and my best friend were talking about this, like, maybe last week. I was like, why do they keep doing this to some of these women where they keep pairing them up with men that don't have the same political background as them? And it's just like, I don't know if the experts have caught up with the time, again, like we said before, of like, you shouldn't be really doing that. You know, I mean, unless they said open. I don't know.
Right.
But why would you say open? And then now it's kind of like a big deal, but then you're afraid to say it's a big deal or whatever. And it might be a source of contention in your home. So again, Brett and Ryan, they just, I don't know. I can't read Ryan. I think Brett can't read Ryan. So she's probably walking on eggshells the whole time she's with him. She doesn't want to upset him. And we even saw that on the boat where she was like, oh, he does everything, so I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Because this isn't like Mirla not liking a bald head. It's rather different where the experts can just go ahead and do their own thing. So they go kayaking. Like we said, they spot a manatee. She didn't want to look at it. She said, I don't like it. But they do kiss out on the kayak. They seem like they had a good time outside of the wildlife. And he said, like, even though she's not an outdoors girl, she is being open about it. So he does like that. And they race and they end up tying. So it ended up being a good date, but just not as enjoyable on her end. Mm-hmm. And then they had a date that evening where, you know, she wishes they had a few more days, or I guess this was the last day of the honeymoon. She wishes they had a few more days, and they talk about like living together and how they do have different habits, still kind of joking, still very light. But she brings up politics and his whole demeanor changes. He leans back, his face is red, and he's like, well, you've clearly been thinking about this since that dinner. She's like, well, you know, it just kind of came up as we're talking about like our differences. Like, it just kind of came up, and she said she didn't have strong opinions about politics until the recent climate. And he said it's a non-issue for him, and she said it's a big deal for her. So I'm like, isn't that typically what we saw? Like, that's exact situation we saw with Eric and Virginia. He didn't care. Doesn't matter one way or another, and it matters yeah. to the woman or the person that is leaning right.
Mm-hmm. Which, and again, like, if you're doing this where it matters to the woman, but you're giving them men that have the opposite political viewpoint, I hate this, because it always tends that, like, you know, back in the old days, the women would curb their political viewpoints to their husbands. And, you know, back to the days where the husband would be the main vote for the whole household. So, like, why, if you have these women who are so dead set on this, would you match them with people who don't line up with them politically? Like Asia said, this is not a bald head debate, you know. Yeah. You know, why does this keep happening, Meredith? Why does this keep happening? And why do you keep putting these women in these uncomfortable positions? You know what I'm saying? Because Eric said a lot that he didn't care last season. The lie detector test determined that was a lot. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know about Ryan, you know, maybe it is, it does afford him privilege enough that he doesn't really care, you know, and to the point where it affects their relationship. Mm-hmm. So, but we just don't know. I just don't like them putting women in this position.
Yeah. And to clarify, just a second ago, I said leaning right. I meant leaning. It matters to the person that's leaning left.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this is a bigger deal than kind of, I mean, they didn't even resolve anything, just kind of like ended the scene. I wish we got more conclusions to these conversations. Like, Married at First Sight loves to just end the scene with like no resolution. I'm like, they didn't end the conversation on that sentence and then walk away. Like, there was some type of like either conversation change or something. So I don't know. I wish we got some type of resolution, but on that second boat date, we got the fact that, oh, Ryan has done everything. Never have I ever. He has scuba dived. He's rock climbed. He's been streaking. And so he's lived a life. And then, like you said, Mari, Brett talked about how like Ryan doesn't let her do anything, especially even bring coffee. But Mirla did point out that like we're on our honeymoon. When we get back, things are going to be back to normal, and we'll really get to see the habits that, you know, we'll get, or I guess the actions or tasks that we'll do as women. Let me see. Next, for the next episode, yeah, we didn't really get anything for them once again. Just lack of content for this couple. I don't know why that is. Is it them or is it just the editing?
I don't know why they, like, if they have, they're casting a TV show, not just matchmaking. So it's like, what about Ryan made him like pop off the screen for them? You know, it's like, I just, it's a strange decision. I feel like they could have matched Brett with a bunch of different types of people.
Yeah, I think like you said, they need one couple that's not given that much content so we can fit it all into the...
They didn't anticipate that one couple would be out for COVID for a while, so...
Oh, right. And now they're like, oh, God, we got to fill for time.
Like scrambling. Yeah. Very true, very true. So where do you guys rate them?
Okay, so I again feel like they're one of those couples, you just never know. Mm-hmm. But they're definitely on the two side, like, mm-hmm. I'm giving them a two because there's nothing that I've seen so far that makes me think that they're going to make it long term. Right. But again, there's nothing I've seen so far that makes me think that they won't, you know, make it at least to decision day. So I don't know. I'm going to give it a two. I feel like the relationship is a mix. I feel like it's giving me both like a Haley and Jacob vibe, but also like a, I'm trying to think real far back, but it feels like a blend that we've seen because it feels like they're just not, something about them, they're not clicking, or again, maybe it just still makes me feel like Brett is just on eggshells. Like it really feels like she's trying to stay at his level of expressiveness, which is nothing. So it's like they're both, oh girl, you're giving me nothing. Yeah. Like that's what they're both doing.
Yeah, like she can't be her full personality, kind of like Claire. Yes. Was a little bit muted with Ryan, I think.
Yes, there it is.
Yeah, I agree. I'm also a two for all of those reasons. I think all signs are leading to an amicable divorce on decision day. But where are you at, Amy?
Yeah, I think a two. I have to give him a two.
It's hilarious because we've been a two since episode three. So it's like ever since we saw them get married, we're like, oh, two.
You know what? I think the preview did say, like, she said she had a crush on him, right?
Oh, so yes. That's a
pause.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a crush after 6 days. I mean, that's fair. And in real life time, in Married at First Sight time, there are people consummating their marriage at that point. So. Stuff. But last but certainly not least, we will dive into Johnny and Bao, one of the best couples. I will say one of the most enjoyable couples because I just never know what to expect with them. They're just so quirky, and I love watching it. So The pillow fort remains. It's still there between them. Val brings up the snoring conversation. And she said, or he said that he was scared that they're going to continue to have arguments, like petty things like such as this. And his gut said to run, but the ring he has now is saying to stick around. And, she's saying that in past relationships, physical intimacy has come first because it's always easiest. And she says she is physically attracted to him. She's always had a crush on him. And he's like, well, if you liked me before, you should have told me because I would have told you I liked you back. And then who's to say, he's like, how many kids would we have by now? And she was like, I don't. Basically, she alluded to the fact that she doesn't even know if they would have kids by now. So then all of a sudden he's thinking like, geez, like, OK, she would be going slow. Like, how slow is she going to go? So they were all over the place with this conversation. Mm-hmm. It was a lot to handle at once.
Yeah. So did you guys think he needed to tell her that he thought about the flight thing? Like, at first I was really scared him telling her that he thought about running would make her like shut down. Mm-hmm. But it didn't seem like that was the case.
She seems to be reassured by that because it's like, oh, he's straightforward mm-hmm. about it. Almost right. Kind of like Gil and Mirla, where he's like, I'm always going to know how she's feeling.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Which is good. Yeah, which is really good. Mm-hmm. Bao saying like she had a crush on him and her saying like for her physical intimacy normally comes first. I was like, what?
Yeah. Right.
I was shocked.
Yeah, that was shocking. Okay. Yeah, and I'm sure he was shocked as well because he's like, wait, what? he had such trouble like wanting, he's saying he's so affectionate and he felt like she wasn't being that way. And he's like, wait, naturally in the past, you've gone there first. What? So, yeah, that was just interesting. I was glad he was at least honest because that means that he does. I could see that he does genuinely want it to work. And I think it's very clear Bao does. But for some reason, Johnny has a hard time seeing that. So we got another scene with them going to a hammock. And he said, like, he's the type to resolve conflict immediately so that they can move on. And he tells her, like, sometimes he feels like she's not 100% in the moment. And he said, to be honest with you, I was having some doubts. And I was starting to think, like, is this for me? And she's like, I saw that in your eyes. And I did feel very judged. Mm-hmm. And she said, like, she is trying really hard. And she doesn't know that it, like, shows. And he's like, well, I just asked for the rest of this honeymoon. Can we just focus on each other so that we can have, like, the strongest possible start? And I love this. Like, even mm-hmm. though they're not even arguments, disagreements have seemed minor to us, to them, they're really big. Mm-hmm. And so it's showing that they are willing to resolve it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, this is one of those, I was like, oh, the first scene went really great. Oh, the second scene. Oh, my God. Like, I'm scared. I swear they're the one couple that plays with my emotions more than any of the other ones because I am constantly on the edge of my seat. Like, you guys are perfect together. Stop playing around. Stop blocking your blessings. Like, every time I feel like they're on my screen, I'm like, stop blocking your blessings. You guys are good. Just be good, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, and I like this, like you said, I like this, and it made me think back to like when we watched the season preview, and a lot of their scenes where they were having the conflict, we've seen, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they've already got through most of them, so this is why I think it bodes really well for them, because they're having the tough conversations really early, and they're working through it really early, so they have enough time to also, you know, then enjoy the good stuff. So yeah. I'm so excited for them.
Yes, I adore them. They did have, during the first group dinner, Johnny tells the other couples like, hey, we've had disagreements and we've talked through them and we're in a really good place. And surprisingly, Ryan is the one to speak up to say, like, I really appreciate y'all for sharing that with us because that shows us that it's possible. And then, I mean, the only other thing, they didn't contribute to the politics conversation. And then Johnny was the one that asked about consummating a marriage. And it was funny that the other couples predicted that they would be the first ones of those four to consummate their marriage. And since they're the last couple that we're discussing, once we went through everyone, they were like, they all four said they hadn't consummated their marriage. And you know, everyone's guessing like, okay, Rachel and Jose might be the first. And they're like, no, I think Johnny and Val. And then it was Ryan. And I was like, well, I think the couple that's not here, possibly after they reunite, will consummate their marriage, which I thought was hilarious because they already have.
Right. That's what I was thinking. I was like, little do they know.
Yeah. So not much from the group meetup as far as like information about Val and Johnny. But we did get a date. So they went out on a boat and I was thinking, oh, they're just going for a nice boat ride. Then they get all hooked up and they're actually parasailing. I thought that was so cool. Have either of y'all parasailed before?
I did a long time ago. I was a teenager.
Yeah, did it feel like you were really flying? Fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I would recommend it because I would never skydive or anything like that. But it just feels safer somehow.
It feels more secure.
Yeah, you do feel you're flying, but you're like, I'm on this, I'm attached to this boat. So
I want to parasail, but I also did see, like, I watch a lot of true crime documentaries, and I did see a true crime documentary, like, a couple went on their honeymoon, they went parasailing, and they, like, died because, like, a malfunction happened. And
oh,
like,
no.
I don't know.
Yeah, oh, that's scary.
No, I'm not sold on the parasailing. But I do want to, I don't know. I'm scared. Look at me talking about Brett. And right. I'm right there with her.
I really do want to parasail too. I never have, but I definitely want to try it. It looks so like so much fun. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, if Bao can do it, I can do it. I'm like, what? How, where has Bao displayed, like, fear that I all of a sudden, she just seems so risk averse because she's so intentional and careful about how she plans things. But I guess she is adventurous. She does things. I mean, we see, don't we see them skydiving?
Yeah, we do in the season.
So that must, they must do that back at home then.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I definitely thought that was going to be a honeymoon thing. So they had a great time. They kissed while they were up there. She wasn't scared at all. She's like, yeah, I wasn't scared. he brings up them living together in a very serious moment. And he's like, I haven't lived with someone for 8 years. And he's like, I'm just concerned about my neat matching your neat. And they both agree, like, no shoes in the house, but they are concerned about each other's neatness. So the racist thing, he wasn't as neat as her, or she wasn't as neat as him.
I thought the second, like, she wasn't as neat as Tim, but I'm not sure. They were talking in a lot of codes and riddles. They're like, my neat, you're neat, you're neat, my neat. The neats might not neat. I'm like, what?
I'm starting to think that this the body pillow thing, it's like he wants it so that her dirtiness doesn't get on his side of the bed because he's so worried about, like, the sheets, like, if she hasn't been showering or something enough times.
So to jump to that, he brings up them living together again, and I was like, he is really concerned about this, and obviously we see why. She's like, well, you know, like, I noticed you showered like 3 times in a day, and there are some times where I have that many showers, like, in a week. If I'm feeling sad or down, like, it may be that. She's like, but do know, most days I shower, like, just once a day. And she's like, I don't want you to be disgusted by me. And he's like, well, no. Sometimes, like, I do that too. And he's like, well, but all I ask is after you work out, you know, you take a shower, and you just don't get in the bed. She's like, okay, well, how about this? If I you know, go outside or work out and I don't want to shower, then I just sleep on the couch because if I don't feel like showering. And he's just like shocked. He's like blown away.
Do not ruin my couch.
Like, couldn't believe that she would do rather sleep on the couch than hop in the shower. And when I lived alone, I'm the type of person, I could see both sides of this. Mm-hmm. I don't think that Johnny is crazy to not want someone to get in the bed after going out. Like, if I leave my house, I'm not going to get in my bed unless I shower. Mm-hmm. And like when I used to live alone, it was just like, okay, if I like went out or something and got back and I didn't feel a shower, I would sleep on the couch. So it's like, I totally understand Belle's reasoning there. It's like, mm-hmm. there is another option. So I don't know. I kind of saw both sides of this. Did y'all think either one was extreme?
I thought Johnny's was extreme to me.
Yeah. Like, was he like adamant about the 3 showers a day? Is it just for him?
I think that's just for him. I think he can't handle if someone doesn't take one at every day or at the certain times that he thinks he should have one.
Yeah. I too saw both sides, because I thought Val did a great job talking about, like, you know, sometimes she said when she's not feeling too great, when she's not in a great mood, you know, when she lived alone, she didn't shower as often, which a lot of people don't talk about, how like mental health affects your hygiene. And mm-hmm. that's like one of the first things that, you know, it can affect and how it can be represent it. And I thought she talked about that really great. And then he was like, okay, I understand that. And then I did think when he was like, okay, well, at least if you just go to the gym, wash up at the gym. And then she's like, well, I don't know about that. I was like, I kind of agree with him there. I'm like, dog, yeah. You just went to the gym though. Like, you didn't run out and like run to Costco and you came back and like, mm-hmm. that's fine to me, but you like went and you legit worked up a sweat. And I'm assuming if you're going to the gym and you're working up a sweat and you're getting dirty, so mm-hmm. you couldn't even like he said, is it too hard to ask to just rinse off? Like, they even tell you to rinse off at the gym. So I kind of agreed with that part. And then she's like, well, I want to sleep on the couch, but he, you know, I like how he doesn't want her to sleep on the couch.
Right.
Wants her to sleep with him.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, well then at least just make up the sheets. And she's like, well, I don't know.
Well, see, I thought he was just like,
girl, come on.
I thought he didn't want the couch to get sweaty, because it's like harder to change the couch cushions and wash those.
I don't know. I thought he still wanted her to be in the bed, but also like, then he, like you said, just change the sheets. And I mean, I agree. I lived alone. For only 4 months in my probably whole entire life. That's the only time I've lived alone. Uh-huh. And it truly was like, I called it like my bachelor pad. I rolled out of bed. I went to work. I came home. That was it. I didn't cook. It was like a whole bunch of like frozen pizzas, mm-hmm. you know, like shower every other day. I completely understand that, just because like, in certain circumstances, again, I was tired. I was alone in a strange place. I was working a job where I got paid to just come work mm-hmm. for like 4 months, get paid a whole bunch of money, and then like go back. And so it was just like, you just get into this rhythm, and you have nobody to impress, and you don't have anybody to get pretty for, which I'm pretty sure a lot of us during the pandemic has mm-hmm. felt this way. Mm-hmm. You know, so like I'm with Bao on that as well. But I like that they're having this conversation, because the minute you are like cohabitating with somebody else, then you need to be, those rules change, mm-hmm. rightfully so. You know, you guys have to talk about this. So I like that they're at least talking about it. I thought they were, I don't think they did a good job of like counterpoint.
mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like both sides were fair.
Yeah,
right.
So. Yeah, and I think it's a thing that I'm glad they're talking about it now, but you just still won't know until you actually get into the situation of living together.
Exactly. So on the second group date, I guess Bao and Johnny kind of had the biggest little storyline. So during Never Have I Ever, found out that Bao has had a one night stand. Shiny's just like, whoa, okay. And then they go out on the paddle boards, and Bao was the only wife to go out on a paddle board. And she really likes that Johnny is adventurous and that they try things together. And then Johnny ends up going out too far and not really knowing how to turn around. And then they edit it in a way where it was making it look like this boat that was passing. Yeah, this boat that was passing by was just going to take Johnny out. Like, yeah, while you're recording, you're going to show that after the commercial break. Yeah. I'm so sure.
We have seen him on Unfiltered, so.
Exactly. That and so obvious that the boat is like a good 20 feet away from him. Like, it's not even the same plane. Like, you know that he's not going to get hit by this boat. But I was scared for him. I was like, wow, that's really far out. And I've always wanted a paddleboard. I might be on the fence about parasailing, but I've always wanted a paddleboard and jet ski. So I was really excited to see them do that. I'm so bummed. None of the wives, like, what? Y'all are no fun.
What's going on? I thought Rachel would at least, because she was into like the deep sea fishing and stuff.
Right. The instructor did say that there were sharks out there. She wasn't kidding, right?
No, I don't know.
She never said just kidding. No. Like, that's when she got like a hard no from, oh, why is her name blanking me? Oh, Brett.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like, she's not going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. But so, yes. OK, I commend Johnny on paddleboarding out there because they're out in open water. I have paddleboarded on a man-made lake. Like, I'm talking, I think it's only 12 feet deep. And it was so hard. Like, there were, the wind was kicking up a bit that day. And it was really hard to balance. I had a blast, though. So paddleboarding is fun, but I couldn't imagine doing it out in open water. But Johnny does make his way back. He doesn't get hit by the boat, makes it his way back to the rest of the couples, and Bao embraces him, gives him a hug, welcomes him back. And then there was a point on the boat where the guys and the girls talked. I guess the guys didn't say anything impactful because we never even saw their conversation. But when the girls were together, Bao said that what she's realized is that she had such a superficial criteria when she was like dating on dating apps. And now she's seeing that like Johnny is kind of everything that she was looking for or that she needed. And so I was like, oh, yeah, like a brilliant mind is what she was initially looking for. And so lastly, with Johnny and Bao, we had this surprise where Johnny surprised her with sushi in their room. And he had some really good news. He talked to his dad for the first time since they got married. His dad asked, was she Asian? And then he was very relieved. The more and more that Johnny was telling him about Bao, and he said that he's very happy for Johnny. And so that was big news because of what we saw about Johnny's dad not being accepting of the marriage in the first place.
Mm-hmm. This was such a nice scene. I teared up so much during the scene because I didn't know where it was going. Yeah. And it just went really nice. And he was just talking about how his dad accepted the situation. I can't wait because you know they're going to have to do it. They're going to do it when she talks to his dad. And I can't wait because I know I'm going to be crying like a little baby when that happens. But you could see how relaxed it made Johnny. Mm-hmm. You could see, you know, Bao was happy for him. I love the scene. I am like, I was tearing up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you could see genuinely how happy it made Johnny, which was just, it's like, I could see it was like, you know, just like like when a son, I don't want to say just like a little boy is like their dad is proud of them. Just like that childlike joy. Like that's what you saw in Johnny. And I just love that for him. Mm-hmm. But then they kissed. It was like, it wasn't just a peck. It was just like, a passionate kiss. Mm-hmm. It was like, they are going places.
Yeah. I think that's what the other couples are picking up on because you wouldn't, based on what we see, we wouldn't expect them to like several of the couples to be like, oh, I think you guys will consummate first, but
yeah.
They're picking up on that. You know, these problems aren't like that bad.
Right.
Those are too similar.
So next time on, we did see that I don't know if it's maybe the first day that they're or the first night that they're at the apartment, but it's one of the first few days, at least on the next episode, that Bao, it is one of those days where Bao doesn't want to shower, so she's gonna sleep on the couch. And then we see Johnny say, like, okay, after this I'm gonna go back home, which I'm hoping is just out of context. Shout out RHAP out of context. and so, yeah, what did y'all see, get any signs from what we saw coming for them?
Something like he's not, I don't know if it, he's not I staying over remember. In the apartment. I don't know.
Oh, right. Yes, yes, yes. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. Like he said, okay, well, I'm going to leave after this or something like that.
Yeah.
Like they were sitting down and I can't remember what they were talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking is just like, okay, it could be him saying like, okay, yep, I'm going to go pick up some more of my clothes and bring them back. You know, like right? They tried to make it seem like he's just leaving.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'll see.
I mean, it could be some anxiety thing. If you, like, he could have some, like, maybe it's OCD or something that they haven't said, but like, he seems so worried about living together with someone. But I mean, he's on this vacation with her, so it's kind of living together. But
yeah,
but maybe it, like something about the place that they set them up rubs them the wrong way. What if there's a
looks really nice.
An insect really in there or something, you know? He's like, I gotta go.
He's just trying to look up the building.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go drive by and interview the leasing the staff, agents. Yeah. What did you guys think of Rachel and Jose when they lived here? So where would you rate them, Amy?
I'm going to still give them a 5 at this point. You know, they worked through their conflict. Now he has his dad's seal of approval. So it's looking good for them.
Yeah, I'm also at a 5 because like last week I was at a 4, but this week I'm back at a 5 because I truly think that Johnny wants this to work. And he has consistently showed that he's willing to work through their disagreements. Like I feel like Bao's on cloud 9 and I think Johnny is just the one that needs to get there and see Bao's true intentions and that she's into this and that she's all in. So I'm at a 5 for now. What about you, Mari?
Yep, I totally agree. I'm at a 5. Exactly. When they both seem committed, then you know you're going to get at least maybe to decision day. Mm-hmm. I think Johnny has done really great communication. I think Bao, some stuff he says, I'm like, oh, is that too blunt? But Bao's like, no, I like it. This is great. I thank you for telling me everything. Now we can like work through this. And yep. I mean, it still, you know, it always kind of feels like, you know, Bao needs to open up a little bit more, but I think she does, you know, she just doesn't say much, you know, Johnny's normally the one driving a lot of their interactions, but I think Bao is always right there with him. And, I think they just make a great couple. And I really don't foresee them not making it unless something like really just ridiculous happens.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which I would be shocked. And
right.
If that does happen, we will be talking about it here, of course. So that's our episode. Anything else to add, Mari or Amy, about the episode?
No. I just, again, I want to thank you for letting me come on and talk about, you know, just the interesting romantic entanglements.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it. I love listening to you guys. I thought, I listened to all your episodes. Your guests are also all amazing. All of the people I know and the people I have not podcast with. I love listening to this. Sometimes, even in this conversation, I have to remind myself that I did not talk about this with you. I was just listening and talking to myself.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad.
When we talked about it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. When we all talked about it last week, you remember? So thank you so much. I love this podcast. I'm so glad you guys are back and doing it like weekly now. And I am just huge fans of the both of you.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on. I think I can speak for both of us that we're really big fans of you too.
Yes.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. So always love podcasting with you, and we'll definitely would love to have you on later in the season so we can see where the couples are at that point.
Yeah.
But yes, Thank you so much, Mari, for coming on. Where can people find you?
Oh, yes. You can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. You can find me every week on the Wrestling Wrap Up podcast with me and Matt Scott. That should be in your RHAP reality TV podcast feed, reality Wrap Up feed. You can also subscribe to our feed directly, Wrestling Wrap Up. Also, we're on YouTube. We have the video version on YouTube at Rob Has a Podcast. It's always great to watch the video version because we pull up cool videos and cool pictures and stuff like that. And you don't need to be a wrestling fan to listen. You could be a lapsed fan, a hardcore fan, a casual fan. You don't even watch. Just come in, listen to us. We have great guests every week, and we'll just steer you through the weird, wonderful world of wrestling. I was also just on, I did the Survivor season rankings podcast with Rob and Lindsay. We talked about the top four, which ranked number four, Micronesia. I don't know why it's number four, but the season of Micronesia, so go check that out. That was really fun. Had a huge blast talking about literally my favorite season of Survivor. So that's also where you can find me.
Awesome. And then, Amy, where can people find you?
You can find me podcasting about Bachelor in Paradise and on Twitter at RHAP Recapper.
Awesome. And as always, everyone, you can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. So A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. I was on the Big Brother 23 Wednesday night recap. So definitely go check that out. I also joined Sasha Joseph. That was kind of a tongue twister. I guess when it's late at night, it's a tongue twister.
Right. Exactly.
So I also joined Sasha on the Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, the Love and Hip Hop wrap up. We had a great time. So much fun talking to Sasha. So definitely go check that out. And then I'll be on one of the Big Brother 23 live feed updates this weekend. And then I'll be joining Puya on the 90 Day Fiance The Other Way premiere recap next week. Nice. Yeah. So you can find all of that on the Reality TV Wrap Ups, wherever you found this podcast. And thank you for sticking with us. We had this was a really good episode. So we had a lot to say. I can't say enough how thankful we are to have you on, Mari. It's always great. So everyone, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next week. Bye.